Friend, if you are the only Christian in your family and you often feel alone, you need to see this. If God has made you a light in a very dark place, there are not so many Christians around you in your place of work or in your place of study, you really need to see this.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us today. And Colin, for those people who are listening who feel like they are in a dark place, that they are the only Christian in their family or the place in which they work, today's message really ought to be one of encouragement.
Yeah, if you are in a dark place today, you've tuned into the right program and you've done that at the right time, because we're going to come alongside a man who was in one of the darkest situations imaginable. John the Apostle, alone, feeling so isolated. He was in prison and he's given a glimpse of hope in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks powerfully and practically into our lives today. This is a great, great message of hope in the Word of God.
Well, if you can, I hope you'll open your copy of the Word of God to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, as we begin this message entitled Heaven. Here's Pastor Colin.
Your future life will not be as it is now. Think of it this way. Your life today is a kind of middle life. That's what it is. Because all of us are on the way either to something that is infinitely better, or we are on the way to something that is infinitely worse. People sometimes in our culture like to talk about living your best life now. Think about that. Living your best life now. That is only possible if you are going to hell. That is only possible if you're going to hell. If hell is your future, your best life is now. Better make the most of it. But if heaven is your future, your best life is still to come, my friend. For a person outside of Christ, this life is as good as it's ever going to get. But for a person who is in Christ, your pain in this world is the only pain you will ever experience. Your struggles in this world are the only struggles you will ever endure. This is as tough as it gets for you, because your future is absolutely glorious. Think of it this way. Without Christ, this world is as near as you'll ever get to heaven. It's the best you'll ever see. With Christ, this world is the closest you'll ever get to hell. It's the worst you'll ever see. Because ahead of you lies that which is absolutely glorious. And I want you to open your Bible with me at Revelation and chapter 7 so that we can look at it together. Now, just to remind you, as many of you know these things well already, the Apostle John, who penned this revelation that was given to him, was suffering in a brutal prison on an island called Patmos. And on a particular Sunday, he tells us that he was in the Spirit. That is, God's Spirit came upon him. And the Spirit of God gave to him this glorious glimpse of heaven itself. God, as it were, pulled back the curtain for this man who was suffering so much and opened heaven itself. And God gave this revelation that John recorded as he saw it in the book, not only for this one man in his prison on Patmos, but he was told to write it down because God was giving this revelation for us, and that is why he has preserved it even for us today. So I want us to join John as we open the Bible and to look at what he saw. Verse 9 of Revelation in chapter 7, he saw a great multitude. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude. Try and picture this now as John saw it. A great multitude, and it's so many that no one could number them. And they come, see their faces from every nation, and from every tribe, and from all peoples, and from all languages. Now think about this. John must have felt so alone in that prison. One believer. And he's worked so hard in evangelism. He's labored for a long time in the church that was at Ephesus. That town where there was so much idolatry, so much resistance to the gospel, not easy to plant a church in Ephesus. And God did a great work, but after a time, you know that the first love of the believers at Ephesus, it began to go cold. And so here were Christians with a low spiritual temperature. And there's so much to discourage John. And here he is on the island prison. This is the Alcatraz of the ancient world, folks. In prison, on the island, and the risen Christ comes near to this man who has endured so much, and Christ is saying to him in effect, now John, I've got something you have to see. You have to see this. And John looks, and what does he see? There is this vast crowd of people, he says, that no one could number, and they come from every nation. Friend, if you are the only Christian in your family and you often feel alone, you need to see this. If God has made you a light in a very dark place, there are not so many Christians around you in your place of work or in your place of study, you really need to see this. If you have been laboring in the work of evangelism, laboring in the cause of mission, and sometimes you get discouraged, you need to see this. This vast crowd. And where are they? They're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This vast multicultural crowd of people who've been redeemed by Christ through the gospel, they are in the presence of Jesus. And he sees something else. He notices that they are clothed in white robes and they have palm branches in their hands. So John is struck not only by how many they are, but he's also struck by how clean they are. White robes. Not a stain. Not a hint of a spot on any single one of them. And they have palm branches, which are the sign of joy and victory. So this is a scene of celebration. These people, we're told, verse 10, they're crying out with a loud voice. They're singing, they're shouting, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And as John looks at this scene, and I hope you're trying to picture it in your own mind as you look at the Bible in this very moment, he sees at the center of this vast crowd that no one can number, he sees at the center the one who is called the Lamb of God. And his glory is inexpressible. And immediately around him, at the center of this great scene, there are the angels. And then there are elders. And then he tells us there are four living creatures, and all of them are caught up in the joy of this worship that rises from the vast crowd. And then suddenly, out of the picture, one of the elders close to Jesus speaks to John. That must have taken him completely by surprise. You know, he's watching, he's spectating, he's an observer. And then suddenly someone comes out of the picture, as it were, and speaks to John. And he asks him a question. And he says, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? You get John's sense of shock in that verse. He says, one of the elders was speaking to me. I mean, as if I knew. And so John takes a page out of Ezekiel's book. Do you remember in the story of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, God showed a vision to that man, a vision of dry bones, and asked a question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, well, God, you know. And so when John was asked the question, he does exactly the same. He takes a page out of Ezekiel's book, and verse 14, he says, sir, you know. And that leads the elder who is right next to Jesus there to become the voice that tells John and therefore tells us who these people are who are in heaven. That's something we all desperately need to know. And what their experience of heaven is actually like. And it's all here for you in Revelation and chapter 7.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Heaven, part of a larger series, Heaven and Hell. And if you ever miss part of a broadcast or you want to go back and listen again, you can do that at our website. Come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your app store, and that's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Collins' teaching and listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. Well, whether you listen to this program on the radio, online, or through the app, it's all made possible through your generosity. And as you give a gift to support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you our Heaven Bundle. It includes the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn, Pastor Collins' book Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and 5 copies of Collins' booklet called How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? Now, these booklets are great to give to someone who you know needs some clarity about how a person gets to heaven. Great tools that you can use in evangelism. Again, we'd love to send you this Heaven Bundle, which includes Randy Alcorn's book, Pastor Collins' book, and these 5 booklets as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can find out more or give online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. The website again is openthebible.org, and our phone number is 1-877-673-6365. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Let's look at the people in heaven. We learned 2 things about them. Here's the first, that they have been crushed. That's the first thing that John is told. Who are these people? They're people who have been crushed. They are the ones, the elder says, coming out of the great tribulation. Now, it may be that there is a reference here to 7 years of tribulation that take place in the end times. But it cannot possibly be limited to that. Because God's people endure tribulation, trial, suffering, affliction in every generation. John was experiencing it while he saw the vision. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, while you are in this world, you will have tribulation. That's what he said. Now, all of us know what it is to face trouble in this world. And therefore, this immediately connects with us. Here's this crowd, and they're full of joy. But the elder says to John, the first thing you need to know is that every one of them have come out of crushing experiences in life, just as you may be experiencing crushing things in your life today. They've been crushed. So important for us. Just in this one congregation, one church. In the last few weeks, we have wept with parents who have lost a 6-year-old child. We have wept with a middle school and college student whose mother died after a cancer diagnosed just 6 months earlier. We've seen people in the prime of their life struck down with terminal cancers. And we ask the question, why is it that so many bad things seem to happen to so many good and wonderful people? And I cannot give you an answer to that question, but I can tell you that the most godly people sometimes endure the most terrible suffering. Look at Jesus. Utterly, unbearably crushed. The Holy Son of God. But Jesus is not in the crusher now. See, that's what the book of Revelation is about. Look, John, look at Jesus. Not on the cross. Not with nails through his hands and through his feet. He's at the center. He's on the throne. And he's sharing the joy of this vast, vast, vast company of people. He's with them and they are with him. And every one of the people in this crowd in heaven, they've all been crushed, but none of them are being crushed now. Now listen, you may be facing a time of great crushing in your life today, and this is why you need the book of Revelation. Some of you face responsibilities in your work that weigh heavy upon you. Other people don't easily understand the weight that you carry. You feel sometimes like you are tied to a whipping post and it feels crushing. Some of you struggle with depression. You might be surprised to know how many others in the congregation share that with you. A darkness comes upon you and it just will not seem to lift. Your mind is always troubled. You feel crushed by the weight of this. For some of you, you face great pain and great difficulties in your home. A husband, a wife, children. Home used to be the place for you where you would go and rest. Now the only time you find rest is when you're away. Look at this vast crowd of people in heaven. All of them have been crushed. That's the first thing the elder tells John. None of them are crushed now. All of them have come out of great tribulation. But they are now before the throne of God, and they're singing, and they're full of joy, and they are adoring the Lamb. And one day, John, as you languish on the Isle of Patmos, you will be there too. That's the point, isn't it? And one day, my friend, as you face that great pressure in your work, one day as you're facing and enduring and honoring Christ through that great difficulty in your family, one day as you go on struggling through the darkness that you may have to bear for a time, one day you will be there too. They've been crushed. But look at them now. Here's the second thing that John learns from the elder. Not only have they been crushed, but the people who are in the presence of Jesus there, they've been cleansed. Look at verse 14. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's the second really important thing you need to know about people in heaven. They are all people who needed to be washed, every one of them. They've washed their robes. In other words, all of them came to a place of knowing and understanding that they needed, in some way, shape, or form, to be washed. Now, I try and connect this back to John on his island prison. He was confined to what would have been a grubby cell. And I don't suppose for a moment that the Patmos penitentiary had much of a laundry service. What do you think, eh? So what kind of clothes do you think that John was wearing as he saw this glorious vision and the brightness of this pure white and these robes that covered these folks from head to toe? And there John is in his own filthy clothes on a Sunday morning, and God opens a glimpse of heaven to him, and he sees the people of God, and they're dressed in this marvelous white, pure white, brilliant, pristine, from top to toe. And the robes, of course, speak of purity. John sees and recognizes immediately, as you will see, that this is saying there is not a hint of a stain on even one of these people in the presence of Jesus. And this is a marvelous picture of what Jesus Christ does for our souls. See, our souls get stained, they get soiled, they get grubby. They get grubby in this world because of our sinful thoughts and because of our sinful deeds. And our souls get messed up in so many ways. And they make you feel, don't they, like you really don't belong in the presence of God. And you say in your more honest moments, though in this country so many fancy themselves in heaven, you say in your more honest moments, I find it difficult to think of myself there. I know my own heart. And here John sees these folks, and they've been washed. Notice how they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is very important. They did not wash their robes in the tribulation. See, think about this. Some people have the idea that suffering makes you pure and holy, you know? Suffering in and of itself doesn't make anyone pure and holy. Suffering may bring out the best in you. Suffering may bring out the worst in you. Suffering sometimes can reveal hidden sins and secret resentments. They did not wash their robes in their own suffering. There's nothing purifying about suffering in and of itself. No one gets perfect through pain. How did they wash their robes? They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Bible says, who takes away the sins of the world. And when he hung on that cross, his blood was shed. And when a person comes to Christ, as you could come to Jesus Christ today if you have not come already, when a person comes to Jesus Christ in faith and in repentance, the shed blood of Jesus gets applied to that person's life, and here in the miracle of God, the shed blood of Jesus will make you clean. That's the promise of the Bible. Now, this is an extraordinary thing, because blood normally stains, doesn't it? I cut myself, blood stains. But this blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses from every stain. And these white robes then are a wonderful picture of the purity that will be yours in heaven, that belongs to every person who is in Jesus Christ. Right now, when you come to faith in Jesus, the guilt of your sin is removed. That's why there's no condemnation for you. You don't need to live in fear any longer. Right now, when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of sin is broken. Here's what that means. There is no sin, there is no temptation that you cannot overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit this week. I'll say that again. The power of sin is broken. What that means is this. There is no sin, there is no temptation that you cannot overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit this week. But friends, you don't need to be a Christian for terribly long, and you don't even need to know yourself terribly well to know that sin itself remains present in every Christian throughout our life in this world. But not forever. Not forever.
Not forever. I mean, that is good news, isn't it? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Heaven. It's part of a short two-part series called Heaven and Hell. And if you're interested in getting a copy of the series on CD, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or come to our website. That's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We do depend on your generosity to keep this program on this station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you the Heaven Bundle. It includes the Heaven Book by Randy Alcorn, Pastor Colin, your book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? And Colin, how do you think listeners would benefit from The Story of the Thief on the Cross?
Well, I'm laughing because I think that my book on The Thief on the Cross is going to look very small beside Randy Alcorn's 500-page book on heaven, which is an absolute classic. But, you know, books can be used in different ways. Yeah. And so Randy Alcorn's is a book that you'll want to have in your home and you'll go back to many, many times. You'll look up the questions that he addresses. There's over 40 of them in relation to heaven, and that's really helpful. Heaven, How I Got Here, you'll use in an entirely different way. It's a small book, very easy to read, and it tells the story of the thief on the cross in the first person. And the mission of the book, the reason for writing it, is that this story really explains grace better than any story that I know or could think of. Many people have the idea that if you're going to get into heaven, you'll do that by living a good enough life. And obviously the thief on the cross didn't do that, and he did get into heaven, and he got there by God's grace. So for anyone who needs to grasp what the grace of God is, this is a very simple story that explains that. And so this is a book that you can read and enjoy, and I hope a book that you'll think about passing on to a friend who needs to discover God's grace.
Well, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, is part of our Heaven Bundle. It also includes Randy Alcorn's book on heaven and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? Our thank you gift to you as you financially support Open the Bible this month. You can find out more, give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Heaven is more than a wonderful place where you'll learn all kinds of amazing things. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.